Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon here on Tuesday, April 1st, 2014. And I have been joined in the studio by Swarupa Toth, legal advocate at AWARE. Welcome, Swarupa.
Thanks, Scott.
And Assistant District Attorney Amy Williams. Thank you for coming down, Amy.
Thank you.
And also from Bartlett Regional Hospital, CC Brenner. Thanks for coming down.
Thank you.
And why don't you begin, Swarupa, by telling us what's going on?
I would be glad to. Thanks, Scott. Last Thursday, many of you may have been at the march, the governor's march for Choose Respect, and it kind of launches off April as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. And we are members who represent a coordinated community response to sexual assault for Juneau and Northern Southeast. So we wanted to come together and do a little bit of awareness raising around sexual assault, which can be a very delicate topic, but there are things that we really want to say. Now, we are a part of a team that is called the SART team, the Sexual Assault Response Team. And our whole team is comprised of representatives from law enforcement, the district attorney's office, Bartlett Regional Hospital, AWARE, the state troopers, along with some ad hoc members like public health, the Child's Advocacy Center, who responds to child victims of sexual abuse, and the FBI, who are first responders to sexual assaults on cruise ships in our area. And our team members provide a coordinated, efficient, supportive response to persons who've been sexually assaulted, mainly focusing on the victim's needs and choices. So we are designed to reduce the trauma of a sexual assault by providing victim center advocacy, care, and services, and really also to increase the likelihood that assaults can successfully be prosecuted.
Thank you, Swarupa. Mm-hmm. And Amy, where do you come in?
The district attorney's role is obviously on the prosecution end. We work very closely with law enforcement in the investigation of sexual assault cases so that we can be sure that where a victim is inclined toward prosecution, we can have the strongest evidence necessary in order to see a successful outcome. And prosecution, from our perspective, is critical both for victim safety but also community safety. As you know, the levels of sexual assault in Alaska have been considered by some to be epidemic.
Right.
Despite our small population, relatively, we are first in the nation for incidences of sexual violence. And fortunately, recently, a 2010 study was released that really drove home the areas in which we need to shift our focus. That study, which was prepared by the Alaskan Council on Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault, found that 37% of Alaskans, men, women, and children, have experienced sexual violence. Of those, the study was able to identify the populations most vulnerable to sexual assault and found that a full 26% of sexual assaults in the state of Alaska have been facilitated by drugs or alcohol. So we in the SART team have really been able to identify the vulnerable populations, including the people because of the alcohol-fueled violence, in addition, disabled persons, as well as the homeless population here in town. We really are trying as a team to outreach to those communities to be sure that they understand what constitutes sexual violence. That requires that they be able to identify what sexual violence looks like. Many people don't understand that it can include intimate partner violence, for example, violence between married couples, dating couples, violence between friends, that it can include sexual assault when a person is unaware or incapacitated, that is to say, when they've passed out because of the influence of alcohol or other intoxicating substances, and also sexual contact cases. So reframing the conversation so that victims understand that it isn't the television form of sexual assault. Sometimes it's more subtle. Sometimes victims aren't aware that it's even happening. But our team is here to respond to all types of sexual assault.
Okay. And Cece, what's your part on the team?
I represent Bartlett Regional Hospital as a registered nurse. I'm here to talk about sexual assault nurse examiners. They're registered nurses that have completed specialized education and clinical preparation in the medical forensic care of victim of sexual assault or domestic violence. If you recall, in the fall of 2014, Bartlett Regional Hospital Foundation assisted in fundraising, and the community also assisted with great support. And that enabled us to begin training, and 11 nurses have committed to that training to perform sexual assault exams. The exams include the patient's medical forensic history, a physical and emotional assessment, detailed writing and photographic documentation of injuries, social support and referral services. Of course, SANEs are trained to testify in court regarding their findings if the case proceeds to prosecution. So really, we're just part of the multidisciplinary team to help collaborate the story and hopefully go through with prosecution.
Thank you for what you three are doing. How did this team get started, Swarupa?
Well, I believe it was the council, and it was quite a couple of decades ago. So we've been working on this, and in Juneau, it has been a little bit separate, but now our team has really come together, and I think it's due to the council providing a lot of training for advocates, the same training for nurses, and the district attorney and law enforcement. We're all taking our trainings together. We just finished a week-long training called the SART training. So it had law enforcement, prosecutors, nurses, medical health providers, and advocates working together. So we kind of bond together as we study this. And then we're the ones who see one another in the emergency room. So should a sexual assault happen, a person usually calls either the police or they go directly to the emergency room or they may call AWARE. And the team pulls together at that point. So if it was at the emergency room, especially if there's a medical need, it usually always ends up in the emergency room. There's a call out, and this team comes together, and the advocate is the first one to go in to talk to the victim of the crime. Because we have a unique role in this, in that our relationship and conversation is protected by law to be confidential. So my role is to be able to talk about what this process is like and give the options about whether to make a report or not and what that process is like in terms of follow-up, what the evening or the night will be like in terms of the exam, the medical forensic exam. And then I will be the person who's kind of the thread, or the advocate, we should say, will be the thread throughout whatever the decision is made for days, weeks, months, and even years.
Okay. And Amy, you were talking about letting extended communities know what you're striving for. You want to tell us more about that?
Absolutely. Our office, the district attorney's office, represents not just Juneau, but we also represent communities around Southeast Alaska, Haines, Skagway, Petersburg, Yakutat, Angoon, Sitka. All of these communities are able to be represented by or served by the SART team here in Juneau if necessary. We've got AWARE has rural advocates that work with victims that are found in the outlying communities. Those individuals can be brought to Juneau if it's necessary that they be seen at Bartlett Regional Hospital and, of course, the district attorney's office. In that case, the district attorney's office we're a statewide district attorney's office, and particularly here in Southeast Alaska, we prosecute these cases day in and day out from our home base here in Juneau. We believe, particularly lately, we have prioritized making it known to the people in the extended community that we are striving for a professional and sensitive response to sexual assault all over Southeast Alaska. And, you know, Sexual Assault Awareness Month, I think, is just as important in Haines or Skagway or Cake as it is in Juneau. And this entire month is dedicated to having this discussion everywhere.
Speaking of that, you have several events scheduled, it looks like. Would you like to highlight some of them? And then we can also talk about where people can go to find these events online.
There are some juicy ones. I'll pick my favorite, and you guys can pick one. This Friday at the Silver Bow, there's a healing arts exhibit. And this will be from 4:30 to about 6 p.m. There will be some treats there and everything. But it's original art painted and poetried and drawn on the topic of healthy relationships. And it'll include the art of the first annual Arts and Media Scholarship Contest, where teens from 14 to 19 submit their artistic expressions on the theme of healthy relationships. Also, women from the shelter and prisons have been doing some work with us on that. So it's going to be beautiful, and we will be bringing up some of the topics. We will be there. Some of us will be there to answer any questions, too.
Okay, and I see a lot more events. If people want to learn more about this, where should they go?
I would say go ahead and get on AWARE's website, awareak.org. And that's the best place to go because there are a lot. And we'll also put it up on K2's website.
And I see a lot more events here that people should go check out. It sounds like you all have done a lot of work in preparation for this month. And mm-hmm. as part of this team, I want to thank you three for what you do very much.
Thank you.
Anything else that you would like to add that we haven't touched on today?
Thank you so much for having us today.
You're very welcome. And our next guests coming up here in a minute are going to be Dave McGraw and Mandy Fair. They're going to be playing a concert at the Gold Town Nickelodeon. Here is one of their songs.
It came to me like the salt to the sea, like a distant violin playing wash away my sins. He searches the sky for something, for someone, maybe nothing, maybe it's just fine to walk hand in hand with a cold metal can, drowning sympathies for what we'd left behind. Till the birds come calling, hey, it's morning, it's time to go and find your way into bed. So we're on our backs, counting stars in the summer wind, till the moon comes rising slow and fading in, fading in. She hid best she could from the current of his eyes, pulling strongly from her voice, dressing passion in disguise. Once she looked, she found angels dressed in blue. She found forests blooming green, found a love that she never knew. You say to sing from your heart, and to dance in the dark, to dream of what it means to love me. So we're on our backs, counting stars in the summer wind, till the moon comes rising slow and fading in, fading in. Slow, baby, can you hear me? The streets aren't empty, no, they're painted in gold. We'll follow them till we can't see, till we can't stop falling, till we can't stop falling. Summer wind, till the moon comes rising slow, fading in, fading in, till the moon comes rising slow.
That song right there is titled Grow off of Dave McGraw and Mandy Fair's CD, Seed of a Pine. They're in the studio with me now. Welcome, Dave McGraw and Mandy Fair.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank
and
you.
Mandy, they brought their guitars down and everything. I think Mandy's going to play one for us right now.
Yeah, thanks, Scott.
And in lieu of having my hand drum in here, I'm going to play percussion on this guitar.
All right.
Can you remember the wordless ones? Where ground meets eternity and time melts like tears just south your eyes. You grab all your senses and try to breathe. I see through this window once I'm further down this road. Don't wonder why. With dreams we'll find the wordless ones. Have been thinking from dust to rest. Back down to feel the sand from in my teeth.
acknowledge and discover what on earth have we done? What have we done? So I'll side with a worthless ones. They don't seem to care a bit. The image ain't as strong as you were. Run all along, I should take this. We should make this. I should take this. We should make this. I should take. We should.
Who wrote that one?
I did.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But it's been fun to have Dave add a lot of percussive elements to it. So.
How long have you two been playing together?
We've been playing together for almost 4 years, and we met in the town of Flagstaff, Arizona, but now live in Northwest Washington in the San Juan Islands.
Okay. And what brings you two to Juneau?
Well, we are on about a 2-week tour of Alaska. We are going to be playing at the Gold Town Nickelodeon tomorrow night. The show's at 7 o'clock. And so far we played in Anchorage and Seward and Homer. So we're just starting the southeast leg tomorrow.
How's it been going so far?
It's been going wonderfully. It's been amazing. I'd never actually been really north of Haines, so it was really cool to check out Anchorage and Homer and everything, and we got to open up for one of our favorite bands, Iron and Wine in Anchorage, and that was a really awesome night for us. And then being able to see Homer and Seward and everything there has been really awesome.
Great. How would you two classify your music? How would you describe it to somebody?
Ooh. I don't know. I think the easy classification is kind of Americana, folk rock, singer-songwriter thing. But, I don't know, what do you think?
I think that's pretty good. We like to say roots as well, which is a pretty vague term.
Sure.
Because it's not, like, so folky where we don't rock out. Like, I play electric guitar, and Dave plays a little bit of a drum. So we kind of cover a lot of different genres. It's hard to nail it down.
I see. And on this CD that I'm looking at right now, Seed of a Pine, how many of these did you write yourselves?
We wrote all the tunes on that album, and that came out a couple years ago, and about half of them were written by Mandy and half were written by myself, and we kind of wrote the tunes with each other in mind, but we're just now starting to collaborate a little more and do some co-writing, which is a whole new adventure and challenge.
I bet. What's your process for writing a song? How do you have one that's set, or do they just sort of come to you? Do you sit down? How's it work?
It's definitely not. It's not really a set way, and I wish it was. I wish we could just, you know, like making bread, where you could just add the flour and the water and throw it in the oven. but with the songs, it's definitely we have to put in a lot of time, and you have to write almost every day to try and, you know, the brain's a muscle that has to be trained and all of that, but I think Dave and I definitely similarly write about stuff from the natural world really inspires us, and hence why we love being in Alaska. And life experiences and stories that we hear from people when we're on the road definitely make their way into the songs. So.
I see. And let's see, so you're playing tomorrow night at the Nickelodeon. That should be fun. Have you had a chance to get over and see the Nick yet?
Not yet, but we've heard it's very cool.
Yeah, it's a cool theater. Colette does a good job over there. I think Betsy's going to be doing sound for you. She's an extraordinary sound person. So that
we love her. She's
we met Betsy and Haynes last summer at the Southeast State Fair.
Okay.
That we played. So we're excited to reconnect.
Cool. She's a very cool person. Yeah. And a very talented sound person. So what should folks expect tomorrow night? What kind of music do you have lined up?
It'll be mostly original material.
All just really awesome.
Yeah. There'll be some storytelling a little bit here and there.
Cool.
And we just look forward to getting acquainted with the Juneau community a little more. So
it's a nice intimate venue for that.
Yeah.
That should be nice. Because you also like to sing, Dave. I know.
Yes.
I've been listening to your CD today and enjoying it.
Thank you.
Well, I wish we had a lot more time to sit here and listen to y'all pick tunes, but unfortunately we don't. But it's been great talking to you two, and I hope your concert goes really well tomorrow.
Thank you so much for having us in.
Oh, anytime. Is there anything you would like to add that maybe we haven't touched on yet?
Our website is davidmandymusic.com.
Okay.
People can find all the info for all the other Alaskan shows that we're doing and stuff about our album there. So
okay. Actually, I just remembered one more question I wanted to ask you, Mandy. That tuning that you were doing on your guitar, that was trippy.
Oh, yes.
Did you figure that out?
That's one word for it.
Yeah. You know, it's C-F-C-F-A-C. So it takes a while to get there from standard tuning, which is fun, and the listening shows, so we get Dave to tell a story or two in between those tunings, but I think I actually found it from a Led Zeppelin song, and then kind of, like, changed a couple of the strings tunings from there.
All right. I bet it's going to be a lot of fun. Tomorrow night, Wednesday, doors open at 6:30, the show's at 7. Their website is davidmandymusic.com if you want to see video or hear some more music. Dave, why don't we go out on one that you sing on? What would be a good number?
How about Serotony?
Serotony, number 3.
Thanks, Scott.
You're welcome.
Thank you so much.
Have fun tomorrow, you two.
10 is burning like the one in my chest. Yeah, we got memories for embers. They don't smoke up all the rest. 'Cause the heart is a landscape of violence and joy. So we learn to rebuild what we have to destroy. First drops of summer on his thirsty ripe sage, like dirt kissing scour, a musician's wage. Hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, hey, yeah. So on the outskirts of town, we live by the sun, through the dust and the rain clouds. I will be done. I will be done. And I will be nothing but honest with you, 'cause I've got nothing but my word. In the crease of light in the morning, my dear, may our music, may our music be
walk into the field at night with the lightning all around. I take out our guitars and girl, may we never put them down. Play for me your favorite song, pull me up into your sky, where the thunder speaks in crazy tongues and the gods do not decide. They say, who,
the music there of Dave McGraw and Mandy Fair, their song Serotony. They'll be playing tonight at the Gold Town Nickelodeon. Doors open 6:30. Excuse me, tomorrow, Wednesday. Doors open at 6:30 and the show is at 7. And now with me in the studio is John Neary. Welcome, John, to the studio.
Thank you, Scott.
And also Patricia Wary. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And we're going to be talking about Wildlife Wednesdays, put on by the Alaska Wildlife Alliance. Should we start there, Patricia? Tell us a little bit about the Alaska Wildlife Alliance.
Well, this is the Southeast chapter that's here in town.
Okay.
And one of the events that we do, principal event, is Wildlife Wednesdays through the winter seasons. And this is our last event for this season.
All right. And those are those always at the Mendenhall Visitor Center?
No, they're not.
Okay.
This year, we've moved them to Thunder Mountain in the library. But because the speaker was going to be John and he's talking about that facility, the center offered for us to have it there. So we will make our final one for this year there.
Oh, exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And John, you've worn a lot of hats in Juneau. I've heard your name associated with Pat Creek, part of the Forest Service. Will you tell us about all the hats that you've worn?
They all have a tree on the front of them.
Okay.
So, yes, I have been in the Forest Service for 32 years.
Wow.
And almost all of that in Juneau. And you're right. Much of that time was spent on Admiralty Island.
Okay.
Working with others to help manage that Pat Creek bear viewing area, some of the original planning for it, as well as working with the community of Angoon and on the Cross Admiralty Island canoe route, Tracy Arm and Endicott Arm, the kayak ranger program there. That's much of my history.
And have you mostly been based out of Juneau?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah, except for one break.
Okay, and now you're in Juneau as the director of the Mendenhall Visitor Center.
I am. I'm really excited as director out there.
Oh, okay. And so you're... Talk tomorrow night, Wednesday night, is going to be about coming changes to your backyard glacier.
Yeah. And I know I titled it that way because really this is our backyard glacier, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It is the accessible glacier in Alaska, both because it has a road right up to the front of it, mm-hmm. and it has a cruise industry delivering a million visitors right mm-hmm. to the doorstep, of which we get, you know, something like 434,000 of them last year. Visiting. So we want Juneau to feel as if this still remains their backyard glacier. For many residents, it's their city park, the place they walk the dog, ride the bike, walk the trail, you know, immersed in nature. And for the visitor, it's that once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to see a glacier. Wow. You know, the bucket list.
And this is a pretty exciting time out there. I know it's changing now as things are warming up. But a lot of people have taken that accessibility to a new level, right? A lot of people have been going out there and visiting the caves and whatnot. And I know that's been getting mixed reviews by people for safety factors. What's it been like dealing with that?
Well, we're really trying to deal with it is a very good way to say it. And we don't have a good answer other than to say it's beautiful. I mean, the ice caves are irresistible.
Right.
People want to see them. Everybody knows it's going to collapse someday. Everybody hopes it doesn't collapse at that moment when they're in it. And mm-hmm. they will someday collapse. So, you know, be warned, of course. And what the Forest Service is trying to figure out is what really is the most responsible message to give. Because we can't say you can't go because it would be, first of all, impossible to enforce that. And secondly, people will go anyway. So we have to figure out how to say, go prepared, you know, be wise, and think about the dangers.
Okay. Tomorrow night, what are some things that you're going to focus on, John?
It's not the ice cave. I'm happy you asked that question because it's an important one. But at the same time, you know, the ice cave is really a small part of what we do out there.
Mm.
Because we had, as I said, over 434,000 visitors just from the cruise ships, not to mention from the ferries and from, you know, every other way you can get to Juneau. So we're approaching 450 total probably in visitors. And those folks are having an amazing trip to the glacier, but we're also seeing in my brief year there are quite a few problems, a lot of bottlenecks, traffic congestion, you know, and clogged visiting or viewing platforms out where the bear viewing happens, and a visitor center that you can't hardly walk in, or a restroom that you have to wait 20 minutes in line to get a stall if you're a female. So I'm going to be in part addressing that. Just how are we going to improve the flow of humanity through that place? What can we do as a community to address that and do it better, both for the resident and the visitor? I really want to make that point. We don't have just tourism in mind here. We really have also that person that wants to walk their dog or walk the trail or go out and see the bears in the evening.
Well, it sounds interesting. What time does it begin?
7 o'clock.
7 o'clock.
At the visitor center. We'll open at 6:30.
Okay. And it's going to be about an hour talk?
Yes, roughly. And I'm really hoping to stimulate discussion because, in my view, there's that one part I just gave you, which is how to make the place function better. But there's this whole other part I really am excited to get into, which is this notion of what would a climate change education center in front of a shrinking glacier look like?
Right.
What could that possibility be to engage visitors in a really different way that gives them an appropriate climate message in a way that doesn't put them off but actually engages them?
Right.
And so I'm really hoping to talk about what sustainability means in our operations and what level we'd like to take it to. There's some pretty exciting stuff, new ideas.
Great. So discussion will be involved, a talk from John Neary tomorrow as part of Wildlife Wednesday out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center from 7 to 8 p.m. Thank you both for coming into the studio today. Is there anything else that you'd like to add?
Yeah, just that we'll be closed at the Visitor Center for the month of April, you know, other than this event and Earth Day, which is coming up. So we'll be open April 19th from 11 to 3 and this special event tomorrow. But otherwise, April is closed, the Visitor Center. You know, you can obviously still walk the trails and use the outdoor areas. And then we'll reopen on May 1 for the tourist season.
Well, John, thank you very much for coming in today, and good luck at your talk tomorrow.
Thanks very much, Scott.
And Patricia, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
All right.
This will be a good one for AWA to end on.
Oh, good. Thank you. And here's another song from Dave McGraw and Mandy Fair.
Down train on a northern line. The old lady sipping on a country wine. The shade comes easy when the sun is strong. Like memories of plenty as the day is long. Town moved to city, cities far and wide. When bigger bought the land up on every side. Lonely she remembers how he made her laugh. But now she's steeped in the silence of a photograph. Barn is high standing, but the windows are gone. Love is the chatter of a sparrow at dawn. The paper mill closed, now the air is fine. The hope is believing in the seed of a pine. She says the wolves in the woods left yesterday. Now the deer in the valley must die a different way. And something tells her we've a ways to go. Great-grandmother would have surely, surely known.
A song right there by Dave McGraw and Mandy Fair called Seed of a Pine. Again, they'll be playing tomorrow night at the Gold Town Nickelodeon from 7 to who knows when. Dave McGraw and Mandy Fair. And now I'm lucky enough to have in the studio with me Mr. Mike Busey. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Scott, thank you.
And I also have Leah Bibb.
Hey.
Welcome, Leah. And Lily Otze.
Hi.
Thanks for coming into the studio today. And can we go down the line and each of you tell me what you do?
Well, my involvement with the charter school, the Juneau Charter School, is that I'm on the APC, the Academic Policy Committee. I'm a parent there. I've got kids that go to the charter school. And so I help help with running the school. We don't have a per se principal. We're actually a school that's run by a committee of parents.
Okay.
And so that's what I do, and that's what I'm here chair about.
All right. And do you wear a music hat at that school too?
Not directly.
Okay. And Leah, what do you do at that school?
Well, I'm an eighth grader at Juneau Community Charter School.
Okay.
And I'm a student.
What's your favorite subject?
Math.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Very cool. And Lily Otze, what do you do at the school?
Well, I'm a seventh grader, and I guess my favorite subject, I really like math. I also like science and stuff like that. Yeah, I like a lot of things.
Okay. And I understand the three of you are here today to talk about an open house where people can come and see what's going on at the school in case they want to go there. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this Thursday, April 3rd. Is that right? April 3rd, Thursday.
Sounds about right. Sounds today's right. The April Fool's Day, the 1st. It's Tuesday.
You're kidding me about that, are you? No. Yeah, so April 3rd on Thursday will be from 4 to 6 p.m. at the Charter School, and that's at 4th and Harris in the AmeriCorps building. And from 4 to 6 p.m. is the open house for the middle school, and it's for prospective graduating elementary school students who might be interested in a different middle school experience than the two larger schools are offering.
Okay, and Leah or Lily, from what you have heard about life at other middle schools, how is the charter school different or similar?
The charter school gives a lot of one-on-one time with the students, and it's really nice to experience that because it helps you a lot when you're learning.
Okay. You want to add anything to that, Lily?
Yeah, well, I know that some of the other schools also have, like, some exploratories, but our school has, like, a big range of different exploratories that we get from the community. So, like, right now we have Betsy Sims teaching us marimba and other things like that. So, yeah, I feel like we have a lot of opportunities and freedom to do a lot of really cool things.
I see. And, Mike, I know that you also work at Floyd Dryden Middle School. What are some observations you have about the differences or similarities?
Yeah, I mean, I my kids are going to the charter school downtown, but I firmly believe I love my school. Floyd Dryden is a great school. It's kind of not one size just doesn't fit everyone, and I think the charter school is a great option for like Leah said, you know, if you want more of a one-on-one experience, the class ratios are much smaller than the other schools. Because we have a charter, we don't have to go along. We don't have to follow quite the same rules that the rest of the district schools do. Like, for instance, our class sizes are only 20 for a teacher. And so for the 6th, 7th, and 8th graders total, there's only 40 students and two teachers. So that's one big difference. And then we also don't have to follow the same curriculum as the district. And so there's a big emphasis on project-based education. Kids don't have to – the teachers don't have to stick with a curriculum so strictly mandated and can kind of follow the interests of the students. A big emphasis of the charter school is constructivism, where students construct their understanding and their learning, and it's a proven very powerful way to learn. Again, it's different. I just really invite people to come and check it out and see if it's the right fit for their kid.
Lily or Leah, would either of you like to add anything to what Mike said? Mm-hmm. Sound about right? And Leah, you'll be going to high school next year.
Yes.
Are you excited?
Very.
All right. Which one are you going to go to?
JDHS.
All right. Lily, you'll be a big eighth grader next year. King of the school. Are you ready?
I guess so, sort of.
All right. And one more time, if you want to learn more about what happens at the Juneau Community Charter School, you can go to the open house, which is when, Mike?
April 3rd from 4 to 6 p.m. That's this Thursday at the charter school, 4th and Harris.
All right. Anything anyone else would like to add?
Thanks a lot for having us on, Scott.
My pleasure. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
See you later. Thank you. thank you all for listening to a Juno Afternoon today. Tomorrow, your host will be Ann Fuller, and we'll find out how to become an outdoors woman. Jim Calvin from the McDowell Group will be here to discuss Juno's economic plan. We'll talk to Mark Kelly and Nick Jans about their new book, Once Upon Alaska. Arthur Starbuck will be here with details about Friday's 10th anniversary Morally Impoverished show at 360. And if you miss the Juno Afternoon or want to listen again, you can catch it and other local, statewide, national, and international news at ktoo.org, which is where you can also go to become a member of this fine station. And Andy Klein, Jordan Nigro, Ben Lyman, welcome to the studio.
Hey, thanks for welcoming us into the studio.